From the Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Delt today, Lance on vacation. Katie Sweet is joining us right now here on the show. She's the Senior Director of Brand Communications at the V Foundation. For those of you that didn't know, the ESPYs are tonight, and the V Foundation is the benefactor, and you can get involved tonight. Today is a big day on ESPN for the V Foundation, and Katie Sweet is here with us. Katie, welcome to the show. How are you?
Great. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, we appreciate it. We want to make bring awareness to this thing because you guys are unbelievable. $290 million in cancer research grants. 100% of what you guys raise goes to cancer research and programs. 4 stars out of 4 stars by Charity Navigator. And you guys are stuff is working, huh? Cancer deaths have dropped 27% over 20 years from 2001 to 2020, but there's still a lot of work to be done, no?
There is. I mean, we've seen over the years a lot of really good news. There are certain cancers that just have phenomenal survival rates now, and that wasn't the case 10, 20, 30 years ago. But not every cancer is that way. We need more research for more answers, more treatment options. And just to beat this thing, we've got to fund the research.
You can go to v.org/donate to help today. Katie, for those of us who may be only familiar with the V Foundation on this particular day with the ESPY Awards, what's the day-to-day like for the foundation and what they do?
So I've been here about almost 9 years, and I would say we have grown tremendously. Our supporters have grown. Our initiatives and activities have grown. We, like you said, have awarded $290 million to cancer research. We have special funds that focus on very urgent needs like pediatrics or survivorship, helping people who have moved past their cancer, live fuller lives. We have a Stuart Scott Fund, and that is for disparities, not only in outcomes for cancer patients, but also for funding underrepresented scientists in research. Because honestly, we got to get more voices to the table, and so that's what we're trying to do. So we focus not only on all types of cancers, but we dive a little deeper into some of those things.
Katie Sweet with us here. She is the Senior Director of Brand Communications at the V Foundation. This is going to be a special night. Obviously, the first ESPYs with Valvano and the start of the V Foundation because of his speech and how wonderful it was. Tonight, Dick Vitale, and I'm sure he will not disappoint. He has been fighting this, and he said he's in remission since April, but he is going to speak tonight. That's going to be something that he's going to tug at some heartstrings tonight, Katie.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, the thing that's just amazing to me is Dick Vitale was there to help Jimmy V up on that stage 29 years ago. And it's coming full circle right now that he's going to stand up there and win this award. And he has been such an amazing friend to the V Foundation. He has a gala every year. And this year alone, he raised $11 million for childhood cancer research. And I think you're right. I think he's going to tug on heartstrings. My understanding is he's been resting his voice, and he will be able to speak tonight. And I personally think I'm going to have a little box with me next with me because I think the way that he is so passionate about cancer research, I think it is going to tug on heartstrings.
You can watch it tonight, 7 o'clock local time here on ABC. Now, Katie, you mentioned how long you've been part of the V Foundation. Can you think back to whether it be something that happened on television or just something that happened day to day, one of your favorite moments from working with the V Foundation?
Well, I myself am a runner, and so I'm very partial to other runners. And I will tell you that about, I want to say 7 years ago, we launched Team V, and that is our endurance program. So since then, we have raised millions through people running marathons, 5Ks, half marathons. So that is actually one of my favorite things about the V Foundation is when we launched that. So it has a special place in my heart, and it's, I think it's an easy way for people to get involved. You not only help yourself by getting in really good shape, but you can raise money and help others through cancer research.
Great stuff. Great stuff. The V Foundation, the ESPYs tonight. What's the easiest way for people to donate right now?
Go to v.org/donate and know that every penny that you donate will go to cancer research, 100% of your donation.
And it's tax deductible as well. v.org/donate. It's a great way to do it. And watch the ESPYs tonight and see Dick Vitale. I'm sure we'll have some of that tomorrow morning on the show right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Katie, we appreciate it. Best of luck tonight. Raise as much as you possibly can today.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. There's Katie Sweet, V Foundation, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Good stuff. Tonight, the ESPYs. Steph Curry is the athlete of the year?
I would imagine. Has that been decided, are you asking? I would imagine. Who would be bet? Who would have surpassed him, considering the Warriors?
Football, were basketball, an afterthought. Baseball, anybody? Oh, Shohei?
Possibly, but great player on a team who doesn't do anything. I think Steph Curry probably is your favorite, right?
Do we know who the finalists are for all these awards? I don't think we've cared enough to look at that, but I don't know that.
Who's the team?
Who would
of the
year? Be the NFL?
So at Aaron Rodgers, Connor McDavid. That's a hockey player for those who may not know. And Shohei Ohtani.
So Steph's not even on the list.
No, he is. Sorry. Oh. Steph, Aaron Rodgers, Shohei Ohtani, and Connor McDavid. Those are your finalists.
I think Steph wins it.
I think so, too.
Female athlete of the year?
Oksana Masters, cross-country skiing, road cycling. Candace Parker, that's the name I recognize. Katie Ledecky, know her, too. Do not. Sunisa Lee, she's the one of the Americans who won gold, I guess. I didn't watch.
I'm going with Katie Ledecky.
I didn't watch any of the Olympics, so yeah, Katie Ledecky seems like a favorite because I kind of know what she did this year.
And team of the year,
let's get to that. Best team is a lot of them, as you would think. Imagine it's all the teams who won titles: Golden State Warriors, Chicago Sky. That's a WNBA team, John. Making sure you know.
I knew that. The champs?
Yes.
Yeah.
Sure you did. Atlanta, the Braves, boo to that. Took out our Astros. The Rams, the Sooners in softball. The Rams in NFL. Sooners in softball. Bulldogs, that's Georgia. And the Avalanche, who just won the Stanley Cup. Those are the teams of the year. Who does that go to? Do you think they go to Oklahoma because they were so dominant?
They were dominant. That's for sure. That was a really good team. How about Georgia?
They did drop the one game, but they avenged that loss. I think they go with Oklahoma softball.
Yeah, it would be very ESPN-ish to go with Oklahoma softball.
I feel like they're going to go with Oklahoma.
They might have been the best team.
I think compared to
relative to their sport.
How they ran through their sport, yeah. I think Oklahoma softball has a real shot to win that.
Yeah, I don't know what was their regular season. Were they?
I don't even know
if they were the number one seed. Were they? Texas just barely got in, and they
made it all the way to the final series.
But there's a reason they just barely got in, because they were in the same conference as Oklahoma.
They were 59-3 overall.
59-3 overall.
Oklahoma was.
Ari Mirov is going to join us on the other side right here. We're going to talk football with Ari Mirov at My Sports Update right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5. On ESPN 97.5. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell in for Lance today. Ari Mayroff is joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. He's from Pro Football Focus. You can follow him on Twitter at MySportsUpdate. You will be one of 564,000 people that are following Ari right now. Ari, welcome to the show. How are you?
John Dowell, thanks for having me on. 50 days away from the NFL season kicking off, so can't be any better than that.
Yeah, just about, what, a week and a half till camp start. I want to get to this for a second. 564,000. And a lot of stuff that you do on your At My Sports update is, you know, you copy and paste and put it out there. Like the Madden stuff that you put out there, what, you got 470 replies?
Well, if you were looking at the edge rusher ratings, and that's what you're interested in. Now, my thought is, because in his profile, he writes, turning on notifications is recommended. Is that what you do, considering how people reply to what you put out there? I couldn't do it. It would drive me crazy. As far as these ratings are concerned, because they're out and people are replying, do you even read some of the stuff that's coming your way? Because it's not you rating Madden. It's you giving them information. How do you like kind of attack that? You just throw it out there and you just say, you know what, I'm not getting involved in this.
Well, the Madden stuff is interesting every year because, if I'm being honest, I really don't care about the Madden ratings. I think there are better ways to, you know, rank players around the league. But I've been doing it for years now where I just post it every year. And the reason I do that is because the players, a lot of them take it very seriously. And then most of the fans take it very seriously and love having arguments about it. Just yesterday, you mentioned the edge rusher rankings. Miles Garrett, 99. T.J. Watt, 96. Here you have two players, same division. Browns and Steelers fans hate each other. They believe Watt is better. They believe Garrett is better. And they're all arguing about it. So it's a thing that every year that fans are very into. The wide receiver rankings, for example, Ja'Marr Chase, one of the best rookie seasons we've ever seen. He's ranked, I believe, 17th among all receivers, tied with Brandon Cooks. He took that personally. So, a lot of people take it very seriously. A lot of people use it as motivation for some of these players. Max Crosby, for example, same thing yesterday. He was ranked in the mid-80s after a tremendous year. So a lot of these players take it as motivation. A lot of these fans like arguing with other fans. So it's always a fun thing to do, especially right now when there's not much going on.
Ari Mayrov with us here on ESPN 97.5 at My Sports Update. I just followed you, but you wouldn't know. I don't imagine you get a notifications every time 500,000 people follow you. Ja'Marr Chase quote tweeted you. So how many you got? You must have a bunch of guys from the NFL that are following you as well, right?
I would say there are a handful of players out there who follow. I mean, listen, there are a lot of players. Whenever they're looking around, they want to keep up to date with all the news going on in the NFL. It's a great way of checking out, getting everything in one spot. So there are a handful of guys who definitely follow the page who are checking it out, seeing what's going on around the league, quickly scrolling through everything to see if they missed anything. So, yeah, there are a handful of players, star players, rookies, whatever it is, who definitely do follow the page, yeah.
You do host the Ari Mayrov NFL show, and in one of your most recent shows, you talked about how the best move of the offseason was Doug Peterson joining the Jaguars. You say Trevor Lawrence's stock is going up. Now in Houston, clearly we're going to see them twice a year, and it wasn't a great season for Trevor Lawrence. You can put a lot of that on who his head coach was. What do you think the biggest benefit for him will be with Doug Peterson as his new coach?
Well, first of all, let's just go back to last year and just remember everything that transpired with Urban Meyer. I mean, it was just a really toxic relationship with really the entire locker room. By the midpoint of the year, that entire locker room was lost, right? They just did not want him as the head coach. It never went right. And Trevor Lawrence still found a way to, you know, keep that locker room intact, be a good teammate. And he had some good glimpses, but he obviously did not have a good year considering a guy who came in as a generational talent, someone who was being a generational talent. But you go in now, you have Doug Peterson, a guy who's been there, done that, has been a quarterback in the league. People call him a bit of a quarterback whisperer. What he did in Philadelphia, of course, early on was very notable. And he comes in, and it just makes a major difference for Trevor just having that type of person in his ear compared to what he had last year. And just on top of that, that roster, when you put aside the amount of money they spent, I know it was a lot of money, but they have to bring people to Jacksonville. The only way to do that right now is to probably overspend a little bit when you have your quarterback on a rookie contract. But adding guys like a Christian Kirk, a Zay Jones, Brandon Scherff up front, Evan Engram, who some people still believe there's some untapped potential over there on a one-year prove-it deal. Putting all of those guys together, along with Doug Peterson being the guy with Trevor Lawrence and them working together now, I mean, we have to see a year two leap. Coaches will tell you the time when you see a leap with these guys is in between year one and year two. So I think Trevor Lawrence is bound to have a big year. Not a big year, but at least just to take a step forward. And the Jaguars to know that they have a quarterback here who's going to be here for the future. And we have that position down for years to come. So after these last 2 years where they have number one overall picks in back-to-back years, the only way right now is to look up. And I believe Doug Peterson, it was a very weird avenue they took to get Doug Peterson, if you remember. I know it's been a few months, but there was the whole Trent Baalke thing. People don't want to work with him. They wanted Byron Leftwich. Doug Peterson was the first person they interviewed, and they some way circled back to him and eventually hired him. I think you make an argument that was the best hire they could have made for what they have right now.
Ari Mayrov with us here on ESPN 97.5 Pro Football Focus. How did Pro Football Focus evaluate Davis Mills?
Yeah, it's interesting because when you look at the Texans, a lot of people really, at least nationally, did not really pay that much attention to them last year. I mean, that's just the truth. But I think you can make a serious argument that Davis Mills last year was arguably the second best rookie quarterback behind Mac Jones. And that's after there were a handful of quarterbacks who went in the first round with Zach Wilson, Justin Fields, and of course Trey Lance as well. You have Davis Mills who goes in the third round. Listen, there were obviously some lows. There were some highs. But overall, he graded in the 60s here at PFF. He had some moments there on the field. And the thing that really, for me, that I'm looking at is the fact that the Texans and this staff have been all in on him. Like, they had opportunities this offseason to look around at some other quarterback options. Jimmy Garoppolo, before he got the surgery, the 49ers were talking to teams about a potential trade. Texans were never involved in that. All these other quarterback moves that happened, whether it was maybe in the draft where these quarterbacks slipped all the way to the second, third, fourth round, didn't want to touch any of them. And then just keeping this coaching staff with Pep Hamilton being his offensive coordinator, I think that's a big deal for him, just to have some consistency on the offensive staff. Pep Hamilton has done wonders for other quarterbacks in this league, going back to Andrew Luck, going back to Justin Herbert. So having him back for his second year, I think will definitely go a long way for him. But I think this is definitely a proven year for him as well, because Houston, of course, has multiple first-round picks in the next couple of drafts. Next year's draft is considered a quarterback-heavy draft. So they're all in on him right now for this year. They put around some pieces around him. The interior of the offensive line is a bit of a concern for me, but this is his team right now. And Lovie Smith, I know he was on Chris Collinsworth's podcast here at PFF a few months ago. Chris asked him, what do you see about Davis Mills? And he was just raining praises for him. So they're definitely all in on him for this year. We'll see how he does. And if he's able just to prove that he could be a guy. No, this is somebody who was a top high school recruit, went to Stanford, obviously had some knee injuries, and that was one of the main reasons why he wasn't a high pick and ended up slipping. But this was the first pick that Nick Cassero ever made as a GM, and they clearly believe in him for this year at the very least.
You have a couple of things on the site today about what the Saints might do at running back. I mean, a lot of the focus in this town is about what will Deshaun Watson get and how it suspension-wise and how it affects the Texans draft picks that they got from the Browns. Well, there's another player facing a suspension. Have you heard anything on, or even just have some thoughts on where Alvin Kamara's suspension may fall? How long will it be, and what the Saints are expecting?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Saints have been at least telling us through some of their actions as of late that they're bracing for potentially something. Now, this thing is still an investigation. The NFL is still looking through it under their personal conduct policy. And I think Alvin Kamara has a court date coming up later next month. So until everything is finalized there, I don't think the NFL will hand down a discipline yet. But the Saints have been bringing in running backs. I mean, they brought in David Johnson last month for a visit. No deal was reached there. They're bringing in Darius Victor, who last played for the USFL, the Generals team in New Jersey, and he was actually the USFL's Offensive Player of the Year. He's coming in for a workout later this week. So they're clearly bringing guys in right now just in case something does happen to Alvin Kamara. And it sounds like, based off what they're doing, how they're bringing guys in here before training camp, that they are bracing for potentially something to happen. And when you look around at depth chart, there aren't many guys there who could hold the rock there in New Orleans if Alvin Kamara gets suspension. You have guys like a Mark Ingram, a Tony Jones. I don't know if they are 100% sure those guys will be able to hold it down if he gets a whatever it is, if it's 2, 4, 6 games. So I think the entire legal process has to conclude first. But once it does, we'll probably hear on a potential discipline for him as well.
What are the Saints going to do at quarterback when Jameis Winston stinks?
What was that?
What are they going to do at quarterback when Jameis Winston fails?
Well, I think they're all in on Jameis Winston. They did sign Andy Dalton there to be the insurance backup in case things go wrong, whether it's injury-wise or it's a playing-wise thing. But they're all in on Jameis Winston. And really, when you look at what they did this offseason, adding guys like a Jarvis Landry, going all in to draft Chris Olave. They moved the first-round pick from next year to this year, then trade even more picks to move up to 11. They clearly see a very talented guy there. They're just getting Michael Thomas back is huge. Just this team as a whole, last year they won 9 games despite starting 4 different quarterbacks, despite not having Michael Thomas all year. Obviously not having Sean Payton is going to be a big problem there, and we'll see how Dennis Allen adjusts. Pete Carmichael, the offensive coordinator, will be calling the plays now, how he'll do. But they're all in on Jameis Winston. Look at the contract they give him. Look at the pieces they're putting around him. Look how they still have this all-in approach, even though Sean Payton is no longer there. Even though they've always had these salary cap issues, they're still all in and trying to win right now. So they truly believe that they could win there in the NFC. Remember, they're 4-0 against the Bucs since Tom Brady came into that division in the regular season. They haven't lost in the postseason, but you look at the NFC, it's a weakened conference, and they believe there's a path to, at the very least, get a wild card spot. And once you make it to the playoffs, anything could happen.
You mentioned a weakened conference. What about a weakened team? Like, do you have a contender that you have the most questions about, a team that's looked at as a possible Super Bowl contender, but you're questioning where that positivity is coming from?
It's an interesting question. Really, when you look around the NFL, I mean, I'm going to look at a team that made the NFC Championship game last year, and that's the 49ers. I mean, what are we getting out of Trey Lance? I mean, I think obviously the quarterback position is really the one that everybody looks at, and we really don't know what to expect out of Trey Lance. Everything coming out of San Francisco, at least from their building, is positive, as you would expect. However, this is a guy who barely played last year, didn't really play in his last college. He only had one game because of COVID. So he essentially hasn't really played real football with guys running after him in basically 2 years. So when you have this team, which made the NFC Championship game last year, their locker room still very much loves Jimmy Garoppolo, but it does sound like they'll eventually move on from him. Now you have a new guy coming in. How will all of that go? And I want to see how they do, especially with a division which has a Rams, which has the Cardinals, who are still very good. And then the Seahawks were in a bit of a rebuild, but always give some problems there to San Francisco. Those two teams always have good games against each other. So I want to see how San Francisco does. They obviously went very deep last year. They really mortgaged the house to go get Trey Lance. It's his team right now. How is he going to do? How do the 49ers do as a whole? Remember, they don't have a first-round pick next year. So whatever happens, they don't have that first-round pick come next year's draft. So they have to really do well this year.
Ari Mayrov from Pro Football Focus, at My Sports Update on Twitter. Follow him. You'll be one of 500,000 people who do. Ari, we really appreciate your time. Thanks for hanging with us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
All right. There's Ari Mayrov right here. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. One more segment, and then News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
The Bench!
Tell them again!
The Bench!
Stay tuned for more John and Lance coming up in a few minutes.
Can't wait!
Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Welcome back. 9:36, a little bit behind, so we don't have much time in this segment. Have we missed anything sports-wise, Del? Any big news? Oh, we haven't even talked about Deshaun. Apparently, the Browns are bracing for an 8-game suspension.
Yeah, I've seen that. I wonder if that's what they believe the judge will give them or give him, and they expect the commissioner to say that's fine.
Yeah.
8 games, half of the year almost. Can't go 8.5 games, so pretty
they
much.
Could. Remember when Johnny Manziel was
I don't know if they
suspended
do,
for a half?
Yeah, they don't do that in the NFL.
Well, they might. They might. Johnny Manziel got suspended for a half a game.
Yeah, I remember that against Rice or something. Yeah. Very SEC to suspend the guy for a half against Rice.
Yeah.
8 games probably means if the Jacoby Brissett I saw last year is starting for 8 games, that they're not going to make the playoffs.
Talking about signing Cam Newton.
Go sign another over. Yeah,
they need another quarterback if he's going to be gone 8 games.
Sure.
And they need one or two more.
Cam Newton ain't going to help.
No. And is Jacoby Brissett going
to
help?
I don't think so. I think that's a team that's probably going to lose. I had to look at their schedule, but guessing just the way he played last year against teams who weren't very good themselves, that's probably at best 3-5 football team.
That's good. That's good news for us.
Going into the back half of the year. And Deshaun, we've seen him capable of losing a lot of football games too, so I wouldn't just guarantee, and he hasn't played football in how long? I wouldn't just guarantee him stepping in right away because he has to be away from the team for those 8 games. So that's, what, a year and a half of not playing football?
Yeah.
No guarantee that he's going to step in and be golden. That's a team that could lose double-digit games.
Absolutely. And if it's going to be Cam Newton, good.
Well, as the other backup?
Yeah. Or if he beats out Jacoby Brissett.
They were both really bad last year.
Yeah.
Good luck in that competition.
Absolutely. So I think we hit just about everything here on the show. 8 games, will you be satisfied? I think, you know what?
I don't really. If he's guilty of what he's accused of, not that he's going to face any criminal charges, most likely. I know there's still some stuff outstanding, but most likely he's not going to face any criminal charges. There's no football thing that I could say, all right, that fits, if he's guilty of what he's accused of. So I won't say I'll be satisfied. I'll just say, okay, that's the process. And am I really concerned about what Deshaun Watson's doing? I don't really care that much about Deshaun Watson, honestly. He doesn't play for my team. He doesn't play for the team in the city. I don't care. I mean, about him. So, no, I won't be satisfied, but I find it very hard to care about what Deshaun Watson does when he's not playing football anyway.
Yeah. We haven't even talked about Rob Manfred. Rob Manfred says he was offended. Rob Manfred is offended by everybody saying that minor league baseball players don't have livable wages. I don't know why he caught a lot of hell for that, especially from the Players Association, the Minor League Players Association. But he also talked about the rule changes that are coming up in Major League Baseball.
Where do things stand when it comes to automated strike zone, pitch clock, reducing the shifts? Will those come into play in 2023?
I think that the competition committee has spent a lot of time already on the pitch clock, the larger bases, and the shift. And I expect that those issues will be dealt with for the 23 season. I'm not going to prejudge what the outcome is. The process is going to decide what the outcome is. ABS, I see, and I said this carefully once, I'm going to say it carefully again. It's a 24 or beyond issue, and it's not up or down. I mean, there's two versions of the automated system that are out there, the challenge version and what we refer to as the full version. We have work to do on both of those. Going to continue to experiment with them in the minor leagues, and ultimately the competition committee is going to have to make a decision as to whether they want to do it and which form they prefer.
I would be okay. I don't know. It's Rob Manfred. He's probably lying about everything because that's what he does. I would be okay if they did it like tennis does it, where you have an umpire and he makes the calls, and you can challenge them real quickly. If you feel like that was a bad strike call, you can challenge it, and you can have, you probably have to put a limit on it. Especially if you're challenging, obvious strikes, put a limit on it, and if you're correct, it doesn't take away from your limit. I would be okay with that, because then you would eliminate the "that's a terrible call. Let's just challenge it." Oh, it was outside the zone. Nope, it's a ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be the way to go about it, because apparently the automated system right now, if you come in with an EFIS pitch, it will bounce, or a slow curve ball will come in and bounce in front of the just behind the plate, and that's normally not called a strike. If it is a strike, you know, if it comes in like that and it is a strike, then it should be a strike, I guess. But they're finding that they're having a little bit of difficulty with that, or they were finding in the past that that was difficult, and that's not a major league strike. If the ball bounces in front of the catcher, it's not going to be a strike. Period. No. Period. So I would be okay with that, where you got to quit, because I love tennis in that it's a challenge. Oh, look, there it is, and it happens real quick.
Are you in favor of a limited amount, or you want unlimited challenges? Like, how many challenges?
Yeah, I think maybe 10. You know, but if you're right, then it wouldn't take away from the 10. Maybe fewer. I don't know. 10 seems like a lot.
Can it be variable depending
on... Not with Angel Hernandez.
This is what I was going to say. Yeah. Can it be variable depending on the umpire? If an umpire has a really bad miss rate, and we'll have answers to that, then your challenges go up. All right, Angel's behind the plate.
You get 800.
Yeah, unlimited challenges. You can challenge almost anything.
Right. No. And Angel should never be behind the plate, period. Exclamation. He should never... He is terrible. C.B. Buckner is terrible. There are some really – Richo West was awful, you know, and just – and get their egos out of it, because they call – if they miss it, they miss it. And you know what? Instead of fighting with him, instead of, you know, cat calls from the dugout at him, you just challenge. And you know what? You were wrong. Okay, let's move on. Now, if you use up your 10 because he's so terrible –
And the umpire takes issue with you challenging everything he does, well, you're out of your 10. I'm going to screw you the rest of this game.
Well, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, but guess what? You were wrong 10 times.
True.
I mean, there's no argument here.
True. My favorite part about the NFL is, unless one of those officials messes up a coin toss, I don't know any of their names. I mean, I know yoked up guys and that those become memes, but I don't know a referee because he's atrocious.
Phil Luckett, you knew him.
Yeah, because he screwed up something
obvious. Yeah, that was... Yeah.
Yeah, but it wasn't, oh, Phil, you missed a holding call. It's not stuff like that. I mean, or a pass interference. And you don't even challenge those in the NFL. But I am glad most of those guys are anonymous, unless they do something funny. Why do I know umpires' names? Because they're terrible.
Yeah.
There needs to be something that fixes that. Well, them.
There are more calls in baseball.
That's, you know, true.
If they're 96%, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's actually real good. Because there are so many calls.
It's the nature of the sport.
It is. A lot more calls. Well, there are calls in football, too. Every play you could call up.
Yeah, it's just balls and strikes seems pretty obvious. Like, either that's a strike or it's not. And you don't really have those calls. Even if I mean pass interference, I guess. But you don't know who the referee on the sideline is. You're never going to know that guy's name.
Right.
So it's just how the sport plays out.
One last one as we head into the news of the weird, because this is really... really weird. This is the Vanderbilt head coach, Clark Lee, talking about Vanderbilt yesterday at the SEC meetings.
We know that in time, Vanderbilt football will be the best program in the country.
Okay, that's enough.
And the first time I heard it, I said, at what? What are you going to be the best at? It ain't going to be playing football.
I should have saved that for News of the Weird Sound.
It is a very weird thing to say. Look, I think Clark Lee is a Vanderbilt guy. Like, legitimately, he played there.
Oh, he played there?
So I get the I'm going to promote Vanderbilt and think we can be that. But does he pay attention to the history of college football? Vanderbilt, like,
we know. Well, it's like, matter of fact, well, we know that Vanderbilt is
going to
be.
Who knows that?
What?
Who knows that?
Now, what now? 945 ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. How often do British people brush their teeth?
You have been on this for so long. Now you have a story to validate.
Now there is a... now the facts are out.
Now you have a story to validate your opinion.
We'll see on the other side, won't we?
To call
Calling to the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.
Isn't it weird?
This is so weird.
Time now for News of the Weird on the Bench.
Boy, what the hell's wrong with you?
Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. News of the Weird brought to you by Simple Seats. Better prices, no fees. It is that simple. All right, Dell, let me ask you a question. How often do you brush your teeth?
Twice a day.
Twice a day. Sometimes maybe, you know, maybe even three.
Well, it depends.
Yeah. If you eat something that you need to.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel
but
like.
Generally twice a day.
Generally twice a day.
Throw in some floss and mouthwash, all those things.
Would you ever just brush your teeth once a week?
No, I'm a grown, non-disgusting adult, so no, I'm not doing that.
Then you're not British.
That's because you say I speak the Queen's English.
You do speak the Queen's English. 4 in 10 British adults brush their teeth just once a week.
Ugh.
Do you want to make out with a British woman?
It really depends.
A once-a-week British
woman.
Let
me ask you a question,
right,
since you're asking me dumb questions. If Kate, you know who Kate Beckinsale is?
Yeah.
If she told you that she only brushed her teeth once, and let me add some caveats. You don't know who Wendy is. You never met her. You don't have a beautiful wife that you love. Right. Okay, let's remove it from the equation.
Okay.
Before you met Wendy,
right,
and Kate Beckinsale told you, John.
No, you stink. Get
John,
away from
John
me,
Grant,
Kate Beckinsale.
John Grant, I was driving through Louisiana. I saw you on television in Lafayette. I really want to go out with you.
Yeah. No, brush your teeth more than
once a week, John. She brushes her teeth once a week. Would
no,
you turn down Kate
the
Beckinsale?
Answer is no, yes.
What did she say? She does mouthwash. She just doesn't brush her teeth.
Oh, no, that's different. Okay. If
all
you
right,
don't
then
stink, then.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I don't care. You're only going to have a tooth left, though. I ain't marrying you, but okay. We
all
go
right
out.
It's always, what does she look like? And what does she
right,
smell
right,
like?
Right, right.
Yeah. So Kate Beckinsale.
Well, what does she smell like?
What does
is
she smell
just
like?
Important.
And what does she look like in this regard?
What does her breath smell like?
This is, for, even if you get rid of the hygiene part, doesn't it just feel better when your teeth are brushed? Why do you
yeah
want to go through life with that yucky film filling on your teeth?
No, thank you.
No.
And go get them clean, too.
That, got, too. Well, they're not doing that.
0 in 10 get their teeth cleaned in Britain.
If they're going a week with one brush, they're not cleaning their teeth.
No. Most people. Those, I can say those people.
You can say those people.
Apparently, well, Miriam Margoyles, she feels like she has some bad breath, too. Well, she did. She was making movie End of Days with Arnold Schwarzenegger. And she says he deliberately farted in her face while filming the movie. Do you think that Arnold Schwarzenegger farted in Miriam Margoyle's face?
When was this filmed?
This was filmed back in 1999.
There's a real chance he thought it was funny and he did it.
Yeah, that she was bent over or something.
In 1990, in the 90s, he probably wasn't at the peak of his powers, but he's still really popular. He definitely think I'm just going to fart in this girl's face because it's funny.
That's 100%,
I
believe it.
Yeah, of course he did that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, and because this is what she looks like, okay?
Oh, she's an older woman.
Yeah, she's an older woman now, but I don't think she was ever. I don't believe she was ever hot. I don't know who she is.
I don't want to judge her.
I don't think Arnold would fart if she was really hot. That he would fart in her face.
He probably thought, "Hey, this old what do
course,
you, this old lady did, is on the. I'm gonna fart in her face. And I think it's funny."
Of course, did you see the maid that he was having relations with?
Yes, I did.
Not that great. You would have thought he
it could, was. It, that was a relationship out of convenience for him.
Yeah. Apparently, in Britain, they're having a heat wave like we are here, and apparently they have showcase cinemas, and this showcase cinema is allowing free entry to redheads so that they can come hide from the heat. Do you think redheads get hotter than normal people because they don't have souls?
Wouldn't they be able to protect themselves from the heat without their soul?
Yeah, I don't know.
I think it's more about them burning up because of their skin being pale, not about the heat.
You think that's it?
Hey, get out of the sun. You're really pale.
Hey, pale redhead.
That's probably more, hey,
you
think
so?
Hey, ginger.
Do you think showcase cinemas are actually caring? And do you feel better about showcase cinemas now?
I don't think they they corralled all the soulless redheads and decided we're going to put you in there. I think it's more like, hey, you guys really burn up because your skin tone. We're going to save you from that particular issue.
Yeah.
So you come on, come in and enjoy the show.
Apparently, this woman, a thief, is ready to sue a man because he is threatening, he's releasing footage of the crime that she committed. Do you think she should be able to sue him because she stole donated items? And she's and but she was the only thief that was caught on camera.
Is this the same woman who sued that guy because
he was a bad
rude.
Date?
He was a bad date. Is she just suing everyone?
She, I'll sue you. I'll sue you. I'll sue
everybody.
Everybody.
Is that the same woman?
That's Saul. Saul.
To answer your question, no. I don't think she should be able to sue.
She should sue him because she's only he's only showing her steal stuff.
Well, that's who he caught.
Well, that's sorry. Sorry, woman. You are out. We are done. Because guess what's next? Vanessa and Gallant right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I believe you'll be back tomorrow, right? Lance hasn't told you he's coming in tomorrow?
I believe I'm back until Tuesday.
All right. Me and Dell tomorrow again right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Y'all have a great day, everybody.